Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Luke Smith, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Saturday marked the return of Formula One sprint races as Max Verstappen and Charles Leclerc continued their early battle for supremacy this season with a close battle at Imola. The 21-lap sprint race saw Verstappen take the victory and secure P1 on the grid for Sunday's Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, as well as bagging the 8 points on offer under the revised sprint race format this year. The race was settled on the penultimate lap when Verstappen used DRS to overtake Leclerc, leaving the Ferrari driver to settle for P2 after his impressive start had initially given him the lead. But it proved to be another sobering day for Mercedes, as neither George Russell nor Lewis Hamilton could fight their way into the top 10, acting as another sign of just how far the reigning Constructors' Champions have fallen in 2022. Joining me to discuss all of today's action at Imola, I am joined by Autosport's F1 editor Matt Q. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
I'm all right, thank you very much, Luke. We are currently, for listeners, you should know, we're currently sat in the cockpit of our Lancia Ypsilon hybrid hire car. Yeah, sadly not, I've got a Lancia badge in front of me, not an O37 or a Lancia Delta, unfortunately. Budgets don't stretch that far for hire cars. But yeah, we're waiting, and in front of us is a lot of a drier car park to get out of. It was quite churned up last night. And yes, that is a tenuous way for you to talk about my driving brilliance last night.
I was actually going to save that until the end of this podcast, so let's save that for later, but do stay tuned for a good Matt Q anecdote, I must say. But let's get back to the real racing action today at Imola, and that was of course the sprint race, and F1's first sprint race of the season, the fourth overall, and it was another chapter in this early Leclerc versus Verstappen story we're seeing that I think could really become the championship fight that defines this season. Now Leclerc made that brilliant start. The media centre, actually, there's a little gantry outside where you can go and watch, and a rare chance to go and watch the start actually like with your eyes and not off the TV screen, and it was just immediately clear how much of a better start Leclerc had made. He zoomed past Verstappen, and when he was out of DRS range in a second half clear, I personally thought, yeah, Charles has got this in the bag. The Ferrari looked very, very planted in a really good place. How did you see that early part of the race, and did you also think that Leclerc was in a pretty good spot then?
Yeah, I was exactly the same, Luke. I've got to be honest with you. Verstappen, I think, had a bit of a clutch kick issue, and so masses of wheel spinning. And Leclerc, you know, he was asked about it in a presser. How was it side by side into turn one? And Leclerc went, "We weren't side by side. I was miles clear," and he was. And I thought he had this under control. And we'll come on to a little bit. I'd done some sort of lap time analysis since FP2, and I thought, well, you know, the Red Bull should get there, but it just wasn't looking like it. And I suppose what sort of we didn't really expect was how the rain sort of factored into the dry race, in the sense that because the track was so green, it hadn't evolved, it sort of tore up the tyres. And Leclerc was saying, you know, he deliberately built that gap to clear Verstappen by more than a second, so we didn't have a fourth DRS battle and however many races and sprint races included. But then that sort of he came to rue that a bit later on as the front right, and particularly he suffered graining. But yeah, I thought it was sort of beyond Verstappen, and you look at the times. It wasn't that, you know, it was a weird contrast. It wasn't that Leclerc made any mistakes. It's just his pace dropped off, and then Verstappen's tyres finally worked up, and it was personal best sector telling his race engineer to shut up. He was in the groove and just going for it, and sort of got closer to that Ferrari.
Yeah, it was a really, really good charge by Verstappen at the end. And yeah, I think seeing him come through Rivazza lap after lap, getting a bit closer and a bit closer, getting a little bit sideways every now and then, he was really, really pushing, as you say, telling GP over the radio, "Look, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing," to paraphrase Kimi Raikkonen from 2012. But then as Verstappen got close, I think there was one lap where he did take a really big chunk out of Leclerc, got within DRS range, and from there it kind of seemed inevitable that Verstappen was going to get past. DRS, obviously, it's only one zone here compared to the initial four we had in Australia, but it's such a long straight out the exit of Rivazza. It starts quite early, the DRS zone, and then it takes them all the way down to the Tamburello chicane, and it did kind of seem pretty inevitable. DRS seemed really, really powerful. Did it kind of, I mean, again, watching that lead battle, did it seem pretty settled, even with sort of like 3-4 laps go, and Verstappen was closing, had DRS, wasn't ahead yet, but barring any kind of incident, let's say, between the two of them, did it seem pretty sound that, yeah, Verstappen was going to get ahead there?
Again, I think so, and it was more from watching other battles throughout the pack. We'd already seen, you know, with the progress Perez was making and Sainz in particular, what the quicker car can do from behind when you get a good toe out of Rivazza, cross the line, slipstream, and then the more substantial braking zone into Tamburello, which of course, you know, reprofiled into a chicane. So I think it was going against Verstappen. It was going against Leclerc. Sorry, and Verstappen did have sort of, you know, that delta we talk about, where it's one thing to get onto the gearbox of the car in front, but then to pass. So I think inevitable makes it sound like it was an exciting sprint race, or that Leclerc sort of just let him by, but it was good. And then as they got into turn one, you know, after how sort of fraught the title race last season, it is really refreshing to see two drivers go at it pretty fairly. I mean, Leclerc didn't roll over, and we can come back to, you know, the merits or the cons of a sprint race in terms of what's at stake, but he let Verstappen by, I thought, but Verstappen still made it look like a spectacular pass by, you know, just to the inch, keeping it on the asphalt, making sure it was a legal pass. So again, coming back to those two, how they've had the mind games in terms of the DRS battles, where Leclerc, you know, first outwitted Verstappen in Bahrain, and then how sort of Verstappen changed that around, learnt off Leclerc and what he was doing in Jeddah next time out. This is a clean one, and you know, we can talk about how popular Formula One is because of Netflix and how that's maybe turned up the stakes, and everything seems a bit dramatised, a bit more Hollywood. So it's nice after missiles attack and race directors being sacked and all the vitriol over social media. It's just nice to have clean, good racing and no bitter aftertaste. It was a jovial press conference, a not very good press conference. And there was no, you know, the downside flat as us as journalists is there's no like killer lines to take away. They're like, "Oh, it's a good race. You look good. Thanks. So did you," sort of thing. But that's just refreshing. Because it's a privilege to Formula One, but it also is draining and can be quite, you know, sad at times when they're just going hammer and tong at each other.
Yeah, definitely. Q and I have been listening to a lot of the Off Menu podcast. I don't know if we're allowed to plug other podcasts on this, but it is excellent. And on a sort of food reference, I think this year's maybe a nice little lemon sorbet or something, a bit of a palate cleanser after everything that happened last year.
You're right, that's not the secret ingredient. You're not kicked off this podcast.
Thank God.
We can continue.
Oh, wonderful. Hopefully people get that reference. But anyway, But looking into tomorrow's race, you said, yeah, it's all been very cordial so far this season, but we've got, what, 63 laps at Imola tomorrow. We saw last year off the start when Verstappen and Hamilton, I think this was the track where we had that first real side-by-side moment, and Max made very clear, look, you are not coming past. How do you think that battle's going to play out tomorrow? And you obviously did the long run analysis for second practice this morning. What can you glean from that? Obviously, listeners will want to go and read that on autosport.com. But what's the kind of impression you're getting from it, having crunched the numbers?
I'll try and be concise, because there's quite a few sort of caveats and stuff you can put in with conditions and whatnot. But the long story short is that Red Bull overall looks slightly quicker, and that's across both cars. The caveats I'm talking about is one, that we don't know fuel loads, and that's fine for any race when you're reading into the free practice times, but here you've got not only fuel loads are hidden, but is that one driver quicker because they've got less fuel, but is it significantly less fuel because they're actually orientating themselves towards a sprint race rather than a full Grand Prix? So you've got that to consider. And then because we had such a deluge, you know, Thursday night into Friday, the track was very green, as I mentioned earlier. And so that meant, you know, when Leclerc was doing his soft tyre run, that was right at the beginning of the session. So he was miles slower than when the Red Bulls did their soft tyre run at the end of the session, because the track had naturally rubbered in. But they were out on the track at the same time, albeit on different tyres, and basically the differential that Pirelli have given us between the two compounds is 0.4 seconds, and that places Leclerc within 0.02 of a second of Verstappen. So the other things to consider, if that's a bit too close, is one, that Verstappen was quicker in qualifying, so the one lap pace is good. Two, he's got the advantage of starting on pole, although you can argue that obviously Leclerc reversed that. Three, because it's a sprint race weekend, Parc Fermé comes into effect after qualifying. So that means that the tyre graining issues Leclerc has, he needs the track to evolve to him. It's not as if Ferrari can sort of fiddle with all their spanners and do sweeping changes to the setup in the hope of eradicating it. Having said all of that, it could all be rendered redundant, because as we're recording this at, 9 o'clock in the evening, the forecast is still currently a good percentage of rain coming in. And because FP1, if we remember back to Friday morning, was all geared towards qualifying, we've done no long running or race runs in wet conditions. So I can give all of that and say Verstappen looks on paper to be a bit quicker, but it might go all out the window, which is a sort of roundabout sort of way of saying we don't know, and it's exciting. You should definitely watch the race.
Covering your own back wonderfully.
Absolutely.
No, thank you, Matt. That's a very good way to sum up, I think, how the pecking order is looking at the front. But one team that is definitely not in that lead fight is Mercedes. Now, we know the struggles the team has been through so far this season. Two podiums to its name so far this year, with Hamilton in Bahrain and George Russell in Australia. Both pretty surprising, I think. Came to Imola and there was maybe sort of ideas of, could we see some upgrades come from Mercedes? There are a few new bits on that W13, but really it just seems to have been another step backwards so far for Mercedes this weekend at Imola. Neither George Russell nor Lewis Hamilton, after their Q2 exits on Friday, could make much progress in the sprint race. George Russell came home in 11th and Lewis Hamilton down in 14th place, 41 seconds off Max Verstappen at the front of the field. So a really difficult day for Mercedes.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Does this feel like a new low point for Mercedes this season?
It does, and it's for how the narrative is changing. So in testing it was we're not quite there, but the potential of this car, the downforce, the numbers it's telling us in the simulator, brilliant. And then it was more, we need to unlock that. And then we're looking at the super times, and they were third quickest team. And then they fell behind Alpine in Jeddah, and then behind Alpine and McLaren in Australia as the fifth fastest team. And their super time, which is basically their best lap over the weekend, is getting further and further away from Ferrari and Red Bull. They're not developing. And as we had this conversation, yes, I think, the narrative of the press conference changed, where it's not like, come on boys and girls, we're so close, just dig deep and we can get there. It's now, yeah, we are making mistakes, and it's a bit of a nuance, but it has changed. It's slightly more pessimistic, and it stemmed all the way through from FP1 into qualifying the sprint race. And a lot of it is, you know, the qualifying pace was off because I think Mercedes sort of were really hurt by the cooler tyre blankets, and I say that because they've dropped, I think, 30 degrees to 70 degrees now, and they were coming out in qualifying in sort of wet to dry conditions and really struggling to sort of get the heat into their tyres. You know, that 30 degrees take laps and laps and laps to come through, and I think that's another reason why we saw 5 red flags. I hope I'm not, you know, trespassing on what Johnny Noble was talking about in the podcast and qualifying, but why we saw so many red flags, because they weren't particularly treacherous conditions, but they were exaggerated by that tyre calling. And Mercedes in the company of AlphaTauri and Williams for struggling particularly with that, and that's not company they're used to keeping. So they've got fundamental problems. The porpoising is still here, and now they've got a lack of downforce. So it seems like the list of problems, well, some of them are staying the same in the porpoising. They've not cracked that. Some of the, and it's still worse than Ferrari, to a point where, you know, Ferrari can live with porpoising and still be quick. Mercedes can't. They're losing downforce. The super times aren't good for them. And now morale's taking a dip as well. And I know our colleague John is asked Toto this evening about, you know, that clip that was seen of Hamilton and Wolff getting a bit animated. And he was saying, you know, it was just because we're both frustrated. We're coming at this from the same place. We're so passionate. But these are things we haven't really been seeing. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's the longest they've gone. So we know they've won, you know, their seven drivers' titles, 8 constructors' titles in a row. But I think the more sort of revealing or headline-grabbing stat is we have to go back to 2011, to when there were 4 rounds into a season and hadn't had a pole or a win.
Wow, that's a stat I wasn't actually aware of. But yeah, and obviously yesterday in qualifying was the first time since Japan 2012 they hadn't had a car get into Q3 as well. So yeah, it's been a pretty tough start to the year for Mercedes. Lewis Hamilton spoke this evening. He said that the worst car of his career he always regards to be the 2009 McLaren. Obviously his title defence was in tatters pretty much from day one, but and he said that is still the worst. He said this one isn't far off, but there is at least potential. He sees in it. But the battle for Mercedes is, look, if you're a second off Red Bull and Ferrari right now, you need to be finding a second and a half, something like that, to not only catch them and overtake them, but then start to build the kind of points buffer that will get you into any kind of title fight. So yeah, another difficult day for Mercedes, and I think it's looking like it's going to be a pretty tricky season for them. Other notable stories, I think, from the sprint race, we saw McLaren. They had a pretty good day. Lando Norris and Daniel Ricciardo, 5th and 6th. I spoke to them after the session, and they said, look, we don't want to sort of say we are the third fastest team, because we're not. Like, it is pretty close at the moment, but it was a good sign for them, particularly given both Norris and Ricciardo had a lack of running in FP2 due to issues this morning. Ricciardo didn't run at all. He said they're still half a step behind going into the race, but they should be able to run pretty well from the third row of the grid. Kevin Magnussen obviously qualified that brilliant 4th for Haas. He dropped to 8th in the sprint race, and that was all down to tyre choice. They opted for the mediums instead of the softs, and Magnussen said the moment he found out that everyone else was on softs, he felt pretty nervous. He knew what was coming. So yeah, not exactly what they would wanted, but he said, look, we still scored a point, and if you'd have said to us we're going to start the race from 8th place, then I would have taken that. So definitely some silver linings there. I think finishing off the sprint race format, this is the 4th edition of it. For me, I thought this was the best sprint so far. I know a lot of people fawn over Brazil 2021 and Hamilton's amazing charge through the field, which to me, don't get me wrong, is one of the finest Grand Prix performances I've ever seen. But this, I just felt, had a bit more action throughout the field. And I know DRS was very, very powerful, but it felt really exciting. And yeah, it was enjoyable. I know sprints aren't everybody's cup of tea. What's your take on the sprints? How do you see them? How did you rate today's sprint race?
Comfortably the best one we've had, which is surprising, because on paper, when Imola was announced, you think, you know, why on earth are they, you know, this sprints are struggling as is to capture hearts and minds. So you put it at a track where overtaking is really difficult, certainly for, you know, we've got 19 corners here and only one of them in Stambarello is a viable overtaking spot. So, you know, for Ross Broad, who's trying to sell this idea, why are you, you know, sort of exposing yourself like that? And yet we've had a really good one, and you know that is because, yes, some cars qualified out of sequence because of, you know, the rain and the slippery conditions, and it's also because we've got, you know, new cars slipstream better, and so that has exaggerated the already quite powerful DRS effect here. But there's always going to be changing circumstances, and I don't think it's always wise to sit back and go, well, if you take out that, it'd been really boring, because it wasn't, and then you lose the enjoyment. I think we had a good one, and you know, there was lots of drama, and yes, I'm slightly skewed because we were on the grid, and you know, with the Ferrari fans and stuff, it was really powerful. There was excitement, and so perhaps we liked it even more because of that. But I still think it held up. I mean, you know, I know not everyone tuning in will be lap charting or making notes, but certainly it was 21 laps, and I would have liked a bit more breathing space in the middle to tighten up some of my paragraphs before focusing on the next chunk of the race. So I think there's certainly, like, again, it's that thing of you can have an embarrassment of riches as a result of the sort of Netflix effect or whatever, where you want things to happen now, but that's not always the way it happens, and it's better to preserve the good clean moves we had into Tamburello rather than becoming sort of BTCC shunt fest because people are sort of overzealous and they want too much action, and it's all made a bit more artificial. I think, you know, that, God, to quote Michael Massey, that was a motor race.
Oh,
I know, I couldn't resist it, but that was a good race. And you know, I think Australia, the way I looked at that was anything above Australia is slam dunk a good race, anything below Australia possibly could be accused of being a bit boring. And I know it was a sprint, not a Grand Prix, but I thought we're above that threshold, so by my book, good race.
It was indeed a motor race. There was actually there were a few, I mean, the Ferrari fans, as you said, were absolutely fantastic today. There were a few really fun flags. One of them was the picture of Toto, I think, with the no, Mikey, this is not right quote over it. There was another flag that had Heinz smooth operator on a bottle of ketchup, which was quite cool. Another was Charles Leclerc as Jesus, which I think tells you how the Ferrari fans do regard him. The grid, yeah, I mean, it was your first grid as well today, Q. How did you find that?
Yeah, special. Thank you very much for taking me down on that. It was quite something. I know it's a cliche, but it was palpable. There was a sense to it, wasn't there? There was a cheer when the Ferraris came. I think something that's appreciated is obviously, you know, Formula One can be accused of being a bit sterile, and that plus the championship I've been covering and doing grids on for the last 18 months is Formula E. So I forgot, basically, there's a lot of noise and it smells really
good. It's a weird smell. Yeah. And I told you this the other day. I was like, it's a smell I just can't describe. It's kind of like sweaty and oily and fuely, and it's really, really weird, but you get it.
Yeah, I know, environmentally conscious times, but it stinks of fuel, and we've got massive Pirelli, so it stinks of a bit of burning rubber, and it's great. It all adds to it. So yeah, it was a really, really special experience. And you know, and I think I'll have to quit the job when one day, if I'm not super excited by, God, there's John Alesi, there's Jacques Villeneuve talking to Felipe Massa, oh, is that Emerson Fittipaldi? If that ever wears off, I'll go. But you know, to see all those guys on the grid was pretty mega.
And you get to do it all again tomorrow, Matt. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast. As promised, though, I will finish with the anecdote about your wonderful rally skills last night. We're about to leave the car park. Now, the overnight rain at Imola going into yesterday obviously affected the on-track running, particularly in FP1. But it also meant the car park, which is literally a field, became a bit slushy, very muddy, and a lot of people had a lot of trouble getting out last night. Tractors were needed to pull people out, including one of our colleagues. One of our colleagues got stuck. Another one of our colleagues saw him stuck, decided to slow his car down and laugh, and he himself got stuck. So that was a bit of Schadenfreude there. Q, being ever the enthusiastic driver, I think that's a polite way to put it.
Cars have a rev limit, so you should use all the revs within that limit.
And you absolutely did that, and you went, I'm going for it. Absolutely gunned it. Colin McRae would have been very, very proud, I'm sure. Ran his way right through the mud, got out, to applause from a group of Red Bull personnel, which was very, very nice to see. And then we got our way back to Bologna, which is what we're about to go and do now. I'm sure there's some pizza waiting for us. Thank you very much for listening. Obviously, we'll be back tomorrow with the Sunday night full race review of the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, and we will see you then.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
This is it. This is the year. Enough dreaming about growing my business online. It's time to get serious about selling. In my style. As big as I want to grow. Because there's nothing I can't do. It's time to get Shopify and take my business to the next level.
Whoa, someone's ready to take on the new year.
Oh, I thought I was talking to myself there. But heck yeah, 2023 is my year.
That's not your average resolution. That's a revolution.
It's a new year's revolution. Start selling with Shopify to join the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Packed with industry-leading tools ready to ignite your growth, Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand. From templates that make site design simple to customizations that let you grow at your pace, this is possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/free22. That's shopify.com/free22. Go to shopify.com to start your New Year's revolution today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.